We especially thank the Lord that He has kept us safe during this pandemic. We thank the Lord that we have the privilege and opportunity to be with the saints of God and to minister to the saints of God during this particular time. It's a difficult time. It's a time that we've made some major adjustments in our lives, and we thank the Lord for what He's done and how He's keeping us. I want us to turn to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and I want to start reading at the 20th verse. And along with this, what I'd like to say is, as a pastor, I feel like that I'm much like a teacher or a coach, you might say. And I think when we were in school, the most of us that were in school, there were a few things that the teacher would tell us. He said that they would tell us that there were going to be a pop quiz. Remember those times? That there were going to be a pop quiz and we had to be careful. And as they were lecturing or saying the things, that going over the lessons, there would be a few things that they would say to us, like, you might want to remember this for the test. There might be a pop quiz that come in next week or something like that. And what I've learned is that we all have pop quizzes, spiritually speaking, as well. There are some things that we were not expecting that have come our way, and then we have to be prepared for those particular things. So there are a few things that we have. We know that when we're in a school setting, that there's going to be pop quizzes, probably. I suppose they still do that. I've been out of school for a long time. And then there are tests. There are definitely tests that come around, and the tests are on a periodic basis, and we tend to know about when the midterm is going to be, when we have the quarter, the test at the quarter of the semester, and all those kinds of things. And then we have a final exam. And so the responsibility of that teacher is to make certain that we are prepared for the pop quizzes. Now, we don't know when those are going to come, but we've got to be prepared for them. And they give us a hint, they give us some kind of indication of when those times might be. And then we know that at mid-semester, we're going to have a pretty big test that we're going to have to go through. And then we also realize that before we graduate, we're going to have a final exam. Well, in the same way, if we put that in the context of spiritual things, we have the same kinds of issues. We have the same kinds of tests. We go through tests. We go through trials. We have issues that we have to deal with. We have people that say something to us, and it may set us off. And so our responsibility is, Lord, this is one of those pop quizzes, and you've given me the grace and the power and whatever it is that I need to be able to go through this pop quiz just fine without any problems, and I can pass it, and there's not going to be an issue. And I know that the thing that's on that pop quiz is going to affect me for my midterm. And when I get on down the road, there's going to be a bigger test. And what I learned there is going to be necessary for me to deal with when I go to the midterm. And then when we get to the end of the semester, shall we say, and we're taking the final exam, then we know that we'll be able to get through that as well because we have been diligent in the things that we've done. That's what we're going to talk about here today, that we need to be diligent about the things of God because there's going to be a test. There's going to be a pop quiz. I want us to read a few scriptures, if you will. Go with me to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. I want to read the 20th verse, starting at the 20th verse and going down to the 23rd verse. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I want to start at this 20th verse. It says, "My son, attend unto my words." So in other words, the things that are being said, if I am the teacher, so to speak, or the pastor, my responsibility is to make certain that you have the tools on hand to go through the test that you're going to face tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Some of the things that we learn in the Word of God, we're going to reach back to them and get them. So the first thing it says here, "My son, attend to my words." So in other words, be attentive to my words. And I've noticed something during this pandemic. All of us wear masks and whatnot. And I did not realize how much we read lips when we're speaking to someone. We look them in the eye. We look at their mouth. And I never realized that until I've had to address and deal with people that have had a mask over their mouth and I can't see what their words are saying. So I can't see what how their mouth is moving. So my response has been to kind of lean in rather than looking at their mouths. I lean in. I incline my ear to make certain that I don't miss any words that they're saying. Now, I'm sure you have done the same thing. So this is what that scripture is talking about. Attend to my words. The words that I'm saying, I want you to give attention to them. And he says give attention to them. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now, whatever God has shown you, whatever God has taught you, Your responsibility is to make certain that you have received it, it has become a part of you, it's become a part of your life, all right? For they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, what does diligence mean? I've got to be careful about what I allow into my heart. I've got to be careful about what happens, what I see that happens around me and how I'm affected by those things. So it says, keep my heart with all diligence. One of the things that we've got to be very careful about is that there are some things that happen to us, and there are things that people say, there are things that how people respond to us in various ways that affect us in certain ways, don't they? If somebody said, walks up to you and say, that's an ugly dress that you've got on, it's going to affect you in some kind of way. If they say that the way that you fix your hair, I don't like your haircut, it's going to have an effect on you some kind of a way. We don't like that. We don't like people coming against us or coming at us in certain ways. And so what we endeavor to do is we protect ourselves from those kinds of things, don't we? But here's the point. How do we respond? We may not say anything to them in their with our mouth, but there is something that happens in our in the process of our mind. In the way that that thing, the way that that person came at me, the way that they said that, how they responded to me in that way, and there was no right for them to respond to me in that way. We say those kinds of things. And you know what our responsibility is? To keep our heart. Watch our heart. Because what I allow in my heart, if there is something about what they said that has affected me or offended me in some kind of a way, I allow that into my heart, something's going to happen. I'm not keeping my heart with all diligence. I think about what our responsibility is to do, because our responsibility is to make certain that we keep our heart with all diligence, that we watch what the enemy tries to plant in there. We watch what he tries to make happen to our minds, or what he tries to put into our mind. We've got to watch that. If we don't watch that, it's going to affect us in a negative way. And he says, keep thy heart. That's your job. That's your responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. I can't go and tap you on the shoulder and say, oh, sister, that's not the way you're supposed to handle this. I know that person didn't say that. Say it right, but that's not the way God wants you to handle it. That's not my job. My job is to give you the tools and give you the word of God, give you the clarity and the understanding. Your job is to get the grace to go through the tests, to be able to do the things that God is requiring of you so that you won't be caught off guard when the test comes. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't prayed up. I need to make sure that I'm prayed up. That's your job. All right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What issues out of that? If you get offended at something that someone did or something that someone said, it's going to have an effect not only on that person, but it's going to have an effect, first of all, on you, and it's going to have an effect on what happens the rest of the day. Anybody ever put you in a bad mood? Have you ever been in a situation where, well, he said such and such, and now the issues of my life, I go to the bank, I kick the cat, it's because somebody said something to me this morning that I don't like, and now I'm snapping at everybody. Have you ever gone through those kinds of things? Keep your heart. Watch what goes into your heart. Watch what the enemy tries to plant there. Watch what the devil tries to do, or what other people do to you, because that's your job. Your job is to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What happens the rest of the day? If someone sets you on edge for this morning, it can affect you the rest of the day. Out of that comes the issues of life. What I'm dealing with, what I'm addressing the rest of the day will be affected. Not only that, but it may be affected on that for the rest of the week. I'm affected because this person did something that they shouldn't have done. And it affects us, doesn't it? Lord help us. All right? So we'll go there. So we cannot be careless. And one of the things that I think in my mind is we live in a very, very busy world. And it seems like since we've been on this lockdown and this quarantine pandemic has taken place, it seems like the days actually go by faster. To me, it seems like I'm constantly busy. And you know what? Church can become secondary if we're not careful. And it can become something that's not so important because we're not able to go to service. But it's the most important thing that we can even imagine. Because there's going to be a final exam. And that final exam is that we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of what we've done with our lives. And so because we're going to stand before the Lord, our responsibility, my responsibility as a pastor, as a preacher, as a minister that people listen to, my responsibility is to make certain that I've said the things, that I've given you the necessary tools, that I've given you what you need in order to have a successful spiritual life. I want to go to another scripture. This is Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And I want to read the I want to read the ninth verse. We'll start at the ninth verse here. So it says here, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Be very careful about keeping your soul diligently, all right? Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. So what this tells us, we have a busy life, as we said, and it's easy for us to forget. But it says here, keep your soul diligently, lest I forget the things which thine eyes have seen. There have been a lot of things that the Lord has shown you. One of the things that I see that is very easy for us to forget is to forget what God has done for us in times past. So in other words, God has taken us through some very difficult and trying times, some trying issues and things that we have gone through. The Lord's taken us through those kinds of things, all right? I've seen that. But you know what? When we're going through the trial that's right here before us, that's current, we're going through the current trials, we're going through the current problems, and all those issues that we're dealing with right now, we can forget the things that we've seen. We can forget what God has done for us when God has prayed, when we prayed and others have prayed for us. We can forget what God has done for us. But he says here, if I'm diligent about it, some of the times that what we need to do, we need to be diligent to say, Lord, I'm going to keep my soul. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to make certain that I have a clear understanding of what you've done for me in the time past. So it'd be good for us to write them down sometime. Sometimes it would be beneficial for us to say, you know what? I know that the Lord is able to do this for me because I remember back in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 months ago, 5 days ago, whatever it may be, I know that God did something special for me. He did it then. He'll do it now. But it seems like those times become less and less prevalent in our mind, and they fade out, and they fade out, and we forget that. But what it says here, it says, only take heed to thyself. Watch you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about how what they're saying and what they're not doing. That's none of your business. My business is to take care of myself. So it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know, sometimes there are some things that we need to remember, and there's some, the way that we remember is to tell them to somebody else. Tell what the Lord's done for you. So if the Lord's done this for you, don't keep it to yourself. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your children's children. Your children are going to go through some of the same things that you went through. And one of the prerequisites that I say of a parent, the prerequisite of a parent is to first have been a child, to know what a child feels like and to know what they're dealing with. And so our responsibility as parents is to help our children through the things because we've had the experience. We've had some experience that they have not quite had yet. And they're going through something, and as they go through it, our responsibility as a parent is to give them the experience that we have so that they won't have to relive some of the things that we did, some of the mistakes that we made, some of the errors that we made. Our responsibility is to make certain that our children don't make them. The sister put in a request about her grandson. Well, the Lord's going to give her something to say. He's going to give her a word to say to her grandchild. You know why? Because she's got experience. So it says here, teach it to thy sons and thy son's son. So what does that mean? Your grandson, your son's son, your daughter's son, or your whoever, down the line, our responsibility is not just this is for myself, but it's for my posterity. It's for my family. It's for those that are on down the line. That's our job. That's our responsibility. All right? So we must understand that it's very important for us to do that. We have a very busy life, but it says here, be diligent. So if I'm diligent about what matters to me, if I'm diligent about my soul, everything else is secondary. Church is not a problem. Coming on a prayer line or coming on watching a live service, a live stream, it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because this is my priority. I'm being diligent about the matters of my soul. And that's my job. I want us to understand that we all have a responsibility in this. All right? So, I thought of it like this sometimes. Sometimes we have very, very trying things, and we've got our life is so busy, and it seems like, okay, now I've got to go to church. I've got to stop everything and go to church. Well, you know, your life should center around God, not around the things that you're doing. It should center around God, all right? So I want to read another scripture. Scripture in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and I want to read the 30th verse. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Says, I went to the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So I went by the fill of the slothful. You know what a slothful person is? A slothful person is a person that is not diligent about the matters that they should be diligent about. He's got a vineyard. This is a livelihood, and he's not taking care of it. And one of the things that I've noticed, of course, I've been in real estate for many, many years, and since I've been here in Sacramento, one of the things that we're doing is trying to find a house to buy. And one of the things that I've noticed as I go to certain neighborhoods, I notice that there are certain neighborhoods where the yards are pristine, that the yards are perfect. The houses may not be huge and mansions and whatnot, but the yards are pristine. And so you can see that there is somebody that is very diligent about their lawn care. And you see all of the neighborhoods. Now, I'm going to tell you the difference between an excellent neighborhood and one that's not so good. It's not the houses. It's not the houses are big and grand. It's whether or not people care for them. So in other words, you look at the yards, you look at all of the things, whether or not they park their cars on the street or on the yard or on the driveway, what those kinds of things. That's important to know. Now, I say if you own a property and you go whatever neighborhood you're in, and this is a true statement, that if everyone in that neighborhood had a pristine, they watered their lawns and everything, it would bring the value of that house up a minimum of $50,000. Just because the lawn. They don't have to paint it. They don't have to do anything else. They don't have to do anything great or grand. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that it's important because when people look at, they look at the whole. And so here's an important thing. They look at the whole neighborhood. They're not just looking at a particular house. When you go to look for a house, you're not just looking for one house. You're looking for the neighborhood. It may be the perfect house, but we don't like the neighborhood. All right? Now, in the same way, when we look at this, we're talking about being diligent about the matters of your soul. Being diligent about where you are and being diligent about your keeping your heart with all diligence. You know what? When someone walks into a church, our responsibility should be that every person in that church should have their lawns, shall we say, if you can allow me to use that as an analogy. Their lawns should be manicured. Their lives should be manicured. Their lives should be that when people are looking at them and people look at their lives, they look at the lives of the individuals in the church, they shouldn't be shoddy lives. They shouldn't be shabby. The preacher shouldn't be running around. And if someone is, your preacher is not living a righteous and a holy life, find you another church. Doesn't matter where you're going. If there are people that are in the choir that are not living right, then you don't need to be there, right? Our responsibility is to keep our own heart. Because what happens if we're around those kinds of people, we start letting down ever so slightly in our own lives. Because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at those people as examples, and at least we're comparing ourselves by ourselves, and we're saying, well, at least I'm doing better than them. But that's not the example. Those people are not the standard. Christ is the standard. So when we look up at Christ, and we know that the Lord is merciful, and he's all of knowing, and he's concerned about us, we understand it. He's not judgmental about us. He's merciful. But his grace is sufficient for us to live righteous and holy. And so what we want to do, and one of the things that I've appreciated about the Church of God, the people that are in leadership in particular are endeavoring by the grace of God to live righteous and holy. And that's safe when you come into an environment like that. And there's individuals that are living right and individuals that have a desire to please the Lord with their whole life. There's something beautiful about that. There's something beautiful about it. It's not just that I am here and I'm the one person that's keeping righteous and holy, but it's the whole neighborhood of people. It's the whole fellowship of people that are endeavoring by the grace of God to do that. That's what we need, isn't it? So I can keep my heart with all diligence. And it makes it easier when I'm around other people of like minds. It makes it easier for me to live a certain way. If I'm around people that are saints, that are endeavoring to please the Lord and endeavoring to do what God wants them to do, it's easier for me to do it. And this is why the scripture says very plainly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But it says for us to come together and to provoke one another to love and to good works. So what I've learned also, we're using the analogy of the neighborhoods. You go to a neighborhood and one neighbor is taking really nice care of their property, it's going to affect the other neighbors. It's going to have some effect on the other neighbors. That they're going to want to keep up, keep up with the Joneses. Well, if nobody cares, you get a neighborhood and nobody cares, and, well, why should I do mine? Nobody else is doing theirs, and it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, it does. Now, and we can say that in our own spiritual lives, we can say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter how I live, because my life is my life, and it's nobody else's life. But let me tell you something. It says here, keep your soul. And it says, who do you teach it to? You teach it to your children, and you teach it to your children's children. You know, how do our children learn? Our children learn by watching us. And if I'm living a shabby life, and my children are watching that dad live a shabby life, do you suppose that they're going to try to go beyond that? Most of the time, they don't. There are those that go, say, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I'm not going to live like my parents lived and all that. But most of the time, we're influenced in some kind of a way. We're influencing someone else. So don't think that you're an island, that you work, you do it just on your own. And there's no one else that it affects. It affects everybody around you. All right? So be diligent about that. So there are some consequences to neglect. If we neglect, and what I want to say to us is it's not all about us being bad people. We're not bad people, and probably the majority of us, whether you're saved or not, you would not classify yourself as a bad person. But do you neglect the things of God? Is your prayer life neglected? Is your prayer life the most important thing to you? Is your relationship with the Lord, is that the most important thing to you? Or are we just neglecting it? I'm not being quite as diligent in this area of my life as I should be. I'm not quite being as diligent in this area of my life. I could read more. I could pray more. I could give God a little bit more of my time. But I'm so busy. All of us are busy. But let me tell you what we don't want. We don't want the pop quiz to come up and we're not prepared. We don't want the midterm to come here and we're not prepared. And we definitely don't want the final examination to happen and we're not prepared. Be diligent in the little bitty things. You just study a little bit every day. You take a time a little bit every day. And I look at it like this. Don't go out of the house. Most of us don't go out of the house without grabbing a glass of juice or a piece of toast, and we run out of the house. Take time to spend time with the Lord. Just a little bit. Doesn't have to be a long period of time. It doesn't have to be that, oh, well, I've got to spend a half an hour, and until I can find that half an hour, I can't have my devotion. No, you can have a devotion in 5 minutes if you need to. You can say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to give my direction for my day. I am going to be diligent. I am going to get in the habit of praying every day, of reading every day, of spending some time with the Lord every day. And if right now all I've got is 5 minutes that I feel like I can give, the Lord will take that 5 minutes. But push everything else out and give God his time. And then as you give God his time, it goes, well, now it's 10 minutes. Now it's 15 minutes. And now it's a little bit longer. May the Lord help us to be diligent about doing the little bitty things, and the big things will take care of themselves. All right. So here another. So there are consequences to neglect. So the first one is immediate. There are some immediate consequences. So here's the point. If I've run out of gas before. And the reason I ran out of gas is because I didn't watch the gas gauge. I haven't done it in a long time, but I've done it before. And the last time I did it, the car started sputtering, and I was wondering, why is this car sputtering? And you know why the car was sputtering? Because I neglected to look at the gas gauge. Even though the light came on, I was just busy doing something else. And I suffered for it, right? That's immediate. Now, if you decide that you're not going to go to work, I'm tired, I'm not going to go to work today, well, you can get by with that once or twice. And I'm saying that for all of us, even those that are at home. If you decide that you're not going to click in on the computer and not going to do it because you don't feel like doing it, then it's going to have some immediate effect. Somebody's going to pick up the phone and call you and make certain that everything is okay. And if everything is okay, and you just tell them, listen, yeah, I just feel like going to work today, so I'm not going to do it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get called in the office, and you're going to be terminated. Immediate. Today. Get the little box, get your things out of your desk, and we'll escort you down and out of the building. All right? Immediate. And then there are some things that because we neglect certain things, there are some things is not an immediate note. We don't notice it immediately, but we notice it on down the road. One thing that we do is maybe if you don't eat right, you eat too many sweets, or you eat too much salt, or you have some kind, you don't take care of your health, it's not going to happen immediately. And I see young people doing this all the time, and I say to them, you know what, I don't like vegetables, I don't like salad. Well, I tell you what, if you don't like vegetables, and you don't like salad, and you don't acquire a taste, which you can do, you can acquire a taste for these things, you're going to have some health problems on down the road, because you don't eat a balanced diet. All right, you're going to have health. It's not going to happen now. You're young. You're 20-something, 30-something years old. It's not going to happen now, but I guarantee you when you get my age, you're going to feel the effects of the neglecting to do what you needed to do at an earlier time. All right, so that's important for us to do. But you can fix that. And sometimes you start doing some very important things and you change your diet and all that, and it can reverse. You can reverse diabetes by your diet. You can reverse high blood pressure in many instances by the way that you eat. May the Lord help us to understand this. But there is a consequence for our neglect that happened a long time ago. Now, the consequence that we don't want is an eternal consequence. So that's the one that I'm here today telling you, listen, let's just take care of the matters of your soul. You don't have to do a whole lot. God's not requiring you to be a preacher, and you're not going to go to Africa or India and be a missionary. No, all he wants you to do is be faithful. All he wants you to do is take care of the little world, the little sphere that he's given you. All God wants you to do is be faithful to do that. That's all. And be faithful to speak to him every now and then. Speak to him every day, not just every now and then. Every day you should speak to the Lord. Every day you should have some time, just you and God. You set aside the time. The Lord didn't say, okay, I need an hour every day, and if you can't give me an hour, I'm not going to be very happy. That's not how the Lord works. The Lord understands our busy schedule. He knew it before then. But we always have time for what we put first. If we put him first, we'll have time for that. Everything else is late. You know what I've learned a long time ago in my experience? I learned that, you know what, I'm running late, and so I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to have my devotion. But you know what I decided? I said, you know what, no, I'm going to have devotion. I'm never going to walk out of this house without spending some time with the Lord. I don't care if I am late. I don't care if I'm 30 minutes late. What does it hurt to be 32 minutes late? Nobody's going to notice the difference. So you get down on your knees and you pray and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I overslept, whatever the issue was, but I want to make certain that you are the first one in my life. Do you know if you read the Lord's Prayer, you can read it, and it was a real prayer. If you read it, it takes you less than 1 minute to read it. So the Lord is not concerned about long, drawn-out prayers. He's concerned about you praying, period. So if it's a small prayer, if it's a simple prayer, if it's saying, Lord, I just want to take time today to spend with you. I want you to know how much I appreciate you, how much I love you, how much I want you, and how much I need you. I need you to protect me today. The Lord will honor that. And then you can just take a scripture, open the Bible, read a verse of scripture, and say, Lord, help that to become a part of my heart. Help it to be what I need for this day, and help me to live by it. Now, that could take you 2 minutes. Now, am I saying, oh, Brother Darrell is saying that you can only have devotion for 2 minutes? Now, you know that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if you're diligent about the matters of your soul, if you're diligent about spending time with the Lord, you will let nothing stop you from doing it. Nothing. Running late, thinking about getting fired. Let me tell you what I've learned that happens when you do those kinds of things. When you do those kinds of things, what God does is he extends your time. So in other words, you're running 2 minutes late. I would not be surprised if you didn't get there 5 minutes earlier than you would have had you not prayed. This is something about the stoplights. It seemed like the Lord just like he opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross, he'll open the traffic for you. And on the other side, right after I went through, there was an accident behind us and it held. But that was just the Lord that did that for you. And you need to understand it. Be diligent about the matters of your soul. You keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. I want to go a little further here. And there is a scripture that talks about the trees are known by their fruit. So in other words, it says, ye shall know them by their fruit. It doesn't matter. That's Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want to read just a little bit of that particular passage of scripture. Matthew, the 7th chapter, 15th verse. And I want to read, let's start at the 15th verse, and then we'll go back up to the first verse. And it says here, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruits, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit shall ye know them. So in other words, here's what our responsibility is. One of the reasons that we are supposed to be diligent about the matters of our soul is because we are advertising Christ. If you claim to be a Christian, you're advertising Christ. And people know you by the way that you respond and react. And there are some times that we get ourselves in difficulty, but there's a way that a Christian is supposed to act in the midst when things are tight and things are difficult. There's a way that they're supposed to act. And the only way for us to be able to act like that is if we are actually in a place that we have been diligent about the matters of our soul. Have you ever seen somebody, have you ever said this or seen somebody that you said, oh, they were supposed, I thought they was a Christian. Has anybody ever said that about you? That's what we need to know. Have you said it about you? And what, when we say those kinds of things, why are we saying that? Because the fruit that I'm looking at is not what a Christian is. People know what a Christian, how a Christian is supposed to respond. Do Christians get angry? Of course we do. It's a part of the, one of the emotions of the human experience. Of course we do. But do we have the grace to be able to deal with it? Do I go off? Do we go off on people? No, we can say it in a way. The Lord got angry. It doesn't mean that we start throwing things and saying things that we shouldn't say that are hurtful things. And people say, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Well, I am a Christian. All right? So what, you'll know them by their fruit. So nowadays, I thought they were supposed to be a Christian. Well, she says she's a Christian. Lord, help us. Is that how people look at you? Is that how people respond to you in various ways that you're supposed to be a Christian? So therefore, but they're not acting like one. May the Lord help us in that way. All right? So our responsibility is to cultivate our own garden. Now, one of the things that we're going to do, we go back to the beginning of the seventh chapter of Matthew. It says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured again. One of the things that we don't like people doing is judging us. And what do we say? We say, don't judge me. Well, you don't have a right to judge someone. Really, we don't. Because there are going to be some things that if you judge a person very harshly in one way, then those people are going to judge you in the same way. So we have to understand that. So our job is, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged again. With what measure you meet, shall be measured unto you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say, brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye. So what we want to do sometimes, we want to make certain that we fix other people's problems. People that are responding to us in a certain way, we say, you got something in your eye, let me fix that. Let me show you what's wrong with you. That's not our job. Our job is to be diligent about our own self. Our job is to get the little splinter out of the mote out of our eye, and don't worry about the splinter that is in your brother's eye. May the Lord help us to understand that that's our responsibility. Be diligent. Keep your heart. Don't worry about somebody else's heart, because I've learned in my own experience, and of course, I've been married for 36 years, and of course, what I've learned in that period of time is I can't make, my wife is the most lovely thing to me, but I can't make her do anything. The only thing that I can do is make me do it. If I can make me do it, and I have two children, and one of the things that I learned about them when they were children, toddlers and teenagers and whatnot, I could make them do what I wanted them to do, even if they didn't like it. And I oftentimes did. I required them to do things that they didn't appreciate and didn't like. But now in their 30s, do you think that I can make them do what they don't want to do? No. Oftentimes I'll say, well, I'm going to make a suggestion that you might not want to do this. And then they say, Dad, I got this. We know what we're doing. And, you know, you got to watch them. And most of the time they do. But Dad knows from experience that if you do it that way, you're going to have, there's going to be some expense. There's going to be something that you're going to have to deal with that you wouldn't have to deal with if you listened to that. May the Lord help us. But ultimately, take care of my own garden. Take care of my own issues. My own problems. I can't take care of my children's. Can't take care of my grandchildren's. Can't take care of my wife's. Can't take care of the people that I minister to. I can't take care of your problems. Only problem that I can take, the only garden that I can tend, the only way that I can be diligent is with my own soul. All right? I can be diligent to make certain that I teach you and preach to you and tell you what God gives me to tell you, because I'm going to have to give an account of that. There's going to be a test for me. Not just a test for you, but there is a test for me. You know how they have sometimes, they have what the teachers, I don't know what they call it nowadays, but they watch the teachers and they rate them as to what kind of teaching they are doing. Well, I'm going to be rated in the end. The final exam for me is, did I tell the people what God told me to tell? And so I've got to say to you, even if it hurts, sometimes the things that we minister, we don't want to say to you, because they hurt when God said them to us. And they hurt when we had to make the adjustment in our own lives. And so God tells us, all right, I want you to tell them, be careful. I want you to tell them, be careful. Because somebody is getting a little bit slack about the things of their soul. They're relaxing a little bit too much. And I want them to be diligent, because there's coming a pop quiz. It's coming down this time next week, or this time a month from now. There's going to be a pop quiz. It's going to take you by surprise. And I want them to be ready. All right? Another scripture that I want to read. First John, the fifth chapter, and I want to read the seventh, start at the 17th verse. First John, the fifth chapter and the 17th verse. It says, all unrighteousness is sin. So there, that's it. All unrighteousness is sin. So if somebody do something that's wrong, it's sin. It's sin, period. But he said there is a sin that is not unto death. So there are some times that people do things, and this is why we can't judge other people. Very important for us to understand that, because it's according to our understanding. What you may understand, I'll use as an example once. Saints don't cuss. Christians don't cuss. I don't care what kind of Christian you are, you don't use profanity, right? But I heard one time that I was talking to a young man that was from another country, and he was using a particular cuss word, and he's a Christian, he's saved, and he used this cuss word and used it right where everybody else would use it, and I thought, I don't know if I heard that right. And so we continued to talk, and he used it again. And so I understood that he used it. Now, if I had done that, that would have immediately affected me in my relationship with the Lord, right? It would have had some level of effect. Now, whether or not it would have cut me off or whatever, that's between me and the Lord, right? But I explained to him, I said, you know what? That is a word that we don't use as Christians. Were you aware of that? He said, no, I had no idea. I didn't know that that was not a word because English was his second language. And so after that, I'm sure he stopped using that particular word. Now, in the same way, if we say where there is no knowledge, sin is not imputed. So if we don't have a level of understanding on this particular thing, God doesn't impute sin to us, right? But if we have understanding and knowledge on that particular thing, then it becomes sin. But he said there's a sin that is not unto death. It may still be wrong, but it doesn't break us away from the Lord. All right, so lest thou forget the things which... Well, I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong thing here. Okay, so it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So what I'd like to say in toward the end of our little discourse today, that if we keep ourselves in the love of God, you keep yourself. It didn't say that, oh, Brother Darrell, you're supposed to make certain that I am like this, or that things are going in my life like this. I don't have any control over that. He keepeth himself, and that wicked one doesn't have access to him. You want to keep the devil away from you, you're having some struggles and problems and the enemy's coming to your mind and all those things, you keep yourself in the love of God. You keep yourself diligent. You be diligent about the matters of your soul. You be diligent to make certain that nothing gets into your heart, no root of bitterness, no hatred, no unforgiveness, whatever it may be. You make certain that you keep your heart. You make certain that doesn't affect you in that kind of a way, that you don't let those things enter into your heart because they're going to issue out. And they're going to affect you, and they're going to affect the people that are around you. If you get upset, everybody that's in the room is affected by it. If you go off on somebody, everybody in the room, have you ever been in a situation where you've seen someone go off on somebody, and then all of a sudden the room gets still and everybody don't know what to do? That means they're affected by it. Well, do we intervene? Do we step out? What do we do? And we don't know what to do. So all that you do, you're affecting all the people that are around you. May the Lord help you. I want to read one more scripture in closing. That scripture is in Jude. Jude 1 and 20. Jude 1 and 20, it says, hold on here. Jude 1 and 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, who can do that? You. How do you love the Lord more? Do you know what? One of the things that you find out, and we can all say this, is that the people that you love, the more that you're around people, the more you love them. Have you ever noticed that? So let's just say a young man that is interested in a young lady, the more that he's around him, something happens. There, if you're talking on the phone every day, if you're wanting to go see her every day, then your affections are going to go a little bit deeper. It's going to affect you in a certain way. And so the more time you spend with that person, the deeper your love. Now, you can say after many, many years of marriage, and I believe anybody can say this, after many years of marriage, you don't have to tell your wife every single day that you love her, but there is a deeper love that you have now than you had before if you allow it to process in that kind of a way. Now, I know that it happens the other way around for some people, but what I want to say, keep yourselves in the love of God, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. You do that. You spend time with the Lord. The more you spend time with him, the more you're going to fall in love with him. The more you see what he does for you, and when you talk to him, and he talks to you, and there's something that you're desiring from him, and he's giving it to you, he's willing to give it to you, then there's going to be some things about that that it's going to cause you to say, you know what, I love the Lord. You know why I love him? Because all the things he does for me. He's protecting me. He's giving me the things that I need. He loves me. I sense it. I feel it. And so when we keep ourselves in the love of God, the devil can't touch us. He said, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right? And only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Make certain that you do your part. God will do his. May the Lord help us. Appreciate your time and attention. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Bow our heads. Father, we thank you today for this word. We ask you that you would bless us and help us and be with us in the most special way. We ask you that you help us during this situation, that we can't be in close proximity with one another, but we can be with each other in our hearts and in our spirits. We ask you that you'd bless us, each and every one, that you'd help us, that you'd deliver us from anything that the enemy would try to impose on us. We ask this all in the precious, most holy, and righteous name of Jesus. We ask it and we give you the praise, Lord. Amen. All right.